Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. The ACA is the peak body representing chiropractors in Australia. These podcasts explore the science, art, philosophy, and politics of chiropractic, as well as reviewing the latest research and discussing how chiropractors can strive for excellence in practice.
Welcome to the Australian Chiropractors Association podcast. I'm your new podcast host, Dr. Kim Lee-Jom, taking over from a successful run by Dr. Anthony Coxon. I'd like to begin our podcast by acknowledging the traditional owners of the country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to lands, waters and communities. We pay our respects to Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander cultures and to elders past and present. So you may be... Some of you may be familiar with me. It's Dr. Kim Lee-Jom speaking, and I've been given the wonderful task of taking over the ACA podcast that Dr. Anthony Coxon has done a wonderful job of since 2016. I thought it'd be a great way to start our podcasting new chapter by interviewing the interviewer. Some of you would know Anthony Coxon quite well. Others may not. So I thought what we could do to begin this new chapter is to delve into a little bit more about knowing a little bit more about Anthony, his time continuing with the ACA and previously the CAA, and then go into a little bit more about what he, how he practices. But first I'd like to run through a little bit of this is quite a nice bio of Anthony Coxon. It's quite lengthy, so if you can bear with me, it's a great testament to the man himself. Anthony has been a practicing chiropractor for over 30 years, graduating from RMIT in Melbourne in 1990. He owns and runs Simply Health, a busy multidisciplinary practice in Camberwell, Victoria, which includes chiropractic, myotherapy, and clinical exercise. From very early in his career, Anthony was active on committees of the Chiropractors Association of Australia, the then CAA. In particular, he has been involved with public education and over several decades has made frequent appearances on TV, print and radio, representing the chiropractic profession on matters of spinal health. Over the years, Anthony has been a significant contributor to the chiropractic profession through his political involvement with Australia's Peak Body Association. He served a total of 7 years as president of the Victorian branch of the CAA from 2016 to 2018. He was part of a transition committee that led to the successful amalgamation of the national, state and territory bodies into a single entity, the Australian Chiropractors Association, or the ACA as it is known right now. Anthony went on to be the inaugural ACA president, serving 3 years in that role and currently remains on the ACA board. Anthony started the ACA podcast in 2016 and has recorded 110 episodes in that time. Wow, that's a mountain of work there, Anthony. So without further ado, I'd like to have a chat to Anthony and maybe ask him a little bit more about other things apart from what he usually does and ask a lot of questions of everybody else. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you, Kim. It's so good to be on the other side of the microphone, and I'm so delighted to have you stepping into my shoes. That bio makes me sound very old, I must say, but I'm not feeling too old, but happy to pass the mantle on after a very, very enjoyable 8 years running the ACA podcast.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for your contribution, and I hope that I can live up to the wonderful bar and, you know, the bar that you've set for the association in the podcasting world. Okay, so I'd like to begin, Anthony. How did you become involved with the ACA, or as we know it, as the CAA back then?
Yes, well, I graduated, as you said, in 1990, and that was actually the first year that the way back then ACA became the CAA. so it's all gets a bit confusing with the acronyms. And so, yes, the CA Victorian branch was my first step into serving the profession. Another chiropractor at the time, Veronica Dillon, who was also in my year, she was a very enthusiastic person. It seemed like everything that she did with fervor. And that sort of, you know, I think it was a great trait that I tried to adopt as well. So she was already involved in the public education committee and said, look, you know, we need help. why don't you come along? So I think it was Michael Portelli, who might've been the committee head or chair at that stage. And so we started to do some things in public education that probably hadn't been done before. Not much in the way of, you know, sending out media releases and those sorts of things. So this was all very, very new and very exciting. And we started for it with, you know, just hoping we could make a little bit of a difference, and we ended up getting having some really great results, in fact, and that sort of spurred me on to continue the involvement with the CAA, which of course later became the ACA again.
Indeed, yes. Well, that's fantastic start. You're obviously quite a good grounding, and you've done such a wonderful job in the public. In terms of public education, was there a main interest early on? Do you remember the first time in front of the camera? Was that quite a daunting moment?
Yes, look, I do. And in fact, I'll give a little bit of a prelude to that experience. I must have been, I reckon, about a third or fourth year in practice, so quite new. And I went over to a CAA conference in Perth. And at the time, it was, I think, Robert Scott who was mm-hmm. president. And I'd had this idea from the little bit of work that I'd done in the media in Victoria that chiropractors should really be looking at endorsing backpacks. And at that stage, and not only endorsing backpacks, but I guess making some public statements about that. Because at that stage, it was very, very common for kids to be using satchel bags that were just slung over one shoulder. I would say less than half the schools even had backpacks available as an option. And so there was a round table conference, as it were, where a whole lot of members of the different state branches and the national board at the time were all having their say on different things. And I put my hand up and I mentioned this. And at the time I thought, you know, Bob Scott or someone in the national branch would go, "What a great idea, son. We'll take it from here." And instead of saying that, they said, "Well, that's a really good idea. Off you go then," and left it to me. And I was, to be honest, I was a little bit disappointed. I thought, you know, these are all the people who have all the experience and the know-how. Surely that's something for them and not for me. But I guess with that challenge, in the end, we ran a very, very successful backpack campaign. So successful, in fact, I remember being at Middle Park Primary School, which is where we did the media launch, and literally I had live interviews. So the camera's there, you know, we're going to air in 3, 2, 1, and bang, you're on. And so that was pretty nerve-wracking, but you know, you've got to start from somewhere. We did our best to be as organized as we possibly could, and while nothing's perfect, we were pretty happy with the way that that came out. And what that led to, in fact, was the ACA sponsored Spartan backpack, which still exists today.
Absolutely. And we endorsed that enormously in our office. And so thanks to you and the crew way back in the day, that was a significant thing. I thought it was a wonderful campaign. And to this day, it still works. I mean, I still go out to the schools on a regular basis to have a chat to them about how to fit the backpack properly and endorse a Spartan brand. So it's been a wonderful campaign. And to this day, I still think that you guys did a fantastic job on that. So Walter, thank you so much for doing that.
Fantastic. Thank you.
With respect to public education, I want to ask you a different sort of a question. I mean, I know you have a lot of years of experience here, so you might be able to shed a bit of light for me in this regard. There's a general perception within the public that if you go and see a chiropractor and then have a negative experience, I've personally experienced this, but I dare say I've spoken to a few others as well who've experienced this, is that there's a tendency to feel like that person who had a negative experience tars the rest of the profession with the same brush of negativity. I find that interesting that person could then not ever want to see another chiropractor, yet we've all experienced, you know, a bad accountant, a bad dentist, a bad GP, surgeon, right? So, I mean, what intrigues me is that why does the general public all of a sudden see one bad chiropractor, never want to see another chiropractor ever again?
Yeah, look, it's unfortunate. I mean, chiropractic is different. I mean, we know that. And in fact, that's probably why most of us are practicing chiropractic, because there's something, you know, an essence there that we really identify with.
Yep.
But despite being mainstream, we're a little off center from what is the typical mainstream, and people do often judge us for the worst examples and rather than the best or even the average examples, and assume an experience that with one individual is reflective of the profession as a whole. And as you quite correctly said, if you have a bad experience with any sort of professional, typically you think, well, perhaps less of that person, but not necessarily less of their profession. So look, I'm not sure, maybe with time that changes, but in the 34 years of my practice, it hasn't really, to be honest. And we've just got to accept that we've just got to do better than everyone else. And looking back at some of the things that's happened within the profession, when there's been negative stuff go out there, that hurts us much more than the positive stuff helps us. So I think overwhelmingly chiropractors are out there doing a great job. And for most of us, if we just keep our, you know, keep on doing the great things that we're doing and try not to make too much of a big fuss over it, then that's the growth just comes organically with time.
Yeah, and I think the ACA do a wonderful job in trying to continually promote chiropractic in such a positive way. So I'm so pleased to be part of the ACA and how they're going about doing that stuff as well for all the members. It's a great discussion point. So thanks for sharing your point of view on that.
If I could just add to one thing to that, because you've just said something that's pricked my interest, and a really important point here is that sometimes the ACA get accused of not responding to some negative media and saying, well, why didn't you get out there and bat for the profession? And I can tell you in the past, and I remember going on the Today Show once and talking about vertebral artery dissection, and it was just a good timing thing. It went beautifully. It went absolutely, could not have gone any better. But typically, we're not going to do that because, you know, when someone says something in the media that's negative towards chiropractic, a reply most of the time simply extends that negativity to the papers in the next day or the radio the day after. So sometimes to let bad press just, you know, whittle away is a better response, as much as, you know, it's difficult for us to, you know, to not have a knee-jerk reaction. We I guess have to play the long game and think about what is the best for the profession over a longer journey, not what might make us, you know, feel satisfied for the next moment or so.
I think that knee-jerk reaction point is a very good point. We don't want to be baited, I guess, is for want of a better word. But yeah, no, I totally agree in that regard. That's such a good point there. And hats off to ACA for, you know, picking and choosing, I guess, if you want to call it that. How would you compare your role from the former state branch versus the current national board? Because you're now serving on the board still. So I'd be interested to see what your thoughts are.
Yeah, well, of course, the structure these days is different with the ACA, where we have regional committees that are all part of the one organization, the one company, which is the ACA. Whereas when the CAA were in existence, they were separate entities that all sort of worked to some degree harmoniously with each other, but they were separate companies and did separate things. And part of the reason for coming together was to avoid some of that duplication and other issues. At a state branch, I think it was, and I would say that this is the case now for regional committees, it's really good grooming. It's the next level to come up, certainly to a board. The legal understanding that you need to have and responsibility that you have as a director is significant, and that's not something that you would currently hold as a committee member, but we did hold as board members in when we had the old state branches. I was fortunate enough to have some lots of time to really make my mistakes, and fortunately most people picked them up quickly enough that they were never big mistakes. So I learned a lot, and I think that put me in good stead for what came, but yes, certainly going on to the national board is a noticeable step up.
Yeah, correct. I'd imagine so. I know I served at the CA New South Wales state branch, and I know exactly what you mean by the nature of having to learn a lot more, but then moving on to the national board would be a big step up. Yeah, we've done a great job on that. Fantastic. Can I just maybe a slight different question? Who are your mentors? I know you've been around the profession a long time, and you've probably encountered quite a few people over the years who I'm assuming you would regard as mentors in our profession. Is there anybody that stands out for you, and you could share a bit of that with us?
Yeah, look, I guess I have many. Would be the first response from a chiropractic professional perspective. You know, my very very early days. You know, people like Paul Finn. People like Kevin Albrecht, who I worked with in Keysborough, Michael Bay, and if you know anyone who knows Michael Bay, he's an absolute crazy character, and I'm nothing like Michael Bay, but I think he what he did teach me was to be authentic in practice. Mm-hmm. So I would count him then, and then I guess from an ACA CAA perspective, the CEOs that I worked with were a great influence for me. So in Victoria, I was fortunate enough to be in the role of president for a number of years, and extremely fortunate to work with Norm Brockley, who anyone in Victoria and even outside of Victoria will know Norm. So I learned a lot from him in terms of how to be organized, how to plan ahead, how to expect small changes early on, but big changes later on, and let that sort of happen and plan for that to happen. I think he was also just a really lovely, lovely human being. So I think I've sort of gone through my career, and of course, within the chiropractic profession, there's different philosophical point of views. And sometimes we highlight that a little bit too much, I think, and try and point out the differences rather than the commonalities. And mm-hmm. I've sort of tried, and it's come natural to me, I think, from just learning osmotically from other people, to try and have a good connection with people from all ranges. So hopefully I haven't burnt too many bridges or made too many enemies along the way. I'm sure there's a few, but it certainly helps get things done when you like the people you're working with and you're looking for the good in people. And then of course, beyond that, Matthew Fisher, you know, he was fantastic, and the CEO that we have today for the ACA, Alex Mallee, you know, he's the man for the job at the moment. So those sort of people, and people like Andrew Lawrence, you know, David Cale, these are all people who I sort of respect and admire, and I've learned a lot from spending time with them.
Well, you certainly named a couple of very big names that I know of, and I couldn't disagree one bit about them being exceptional mentors. So you've learned a lot from some of the great minds in our profession from where you stand there. So, yeah, it's fantastic. I appreciate you sharing that. Are there any sort of significant, memorable moments that have come from, whether it be from working on the ACA board, the CAA board, or even just doing your podcasting?
Look, I definitely had I definitely had many. If I one that I've just that's just popped to my mind, I was doing a radio interview at ABC in at South Bank. So most of the short radio interviews will be done over the phone. So, you know, it'll be like they're talking about a story. We're going to cut for a comment from, you know, Victorian President Anthony Coxon, da 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 da, and then I'll probably say two or three sentences, and that'll be it. So you don't go into the studio for that. But but I was, this particular interview, I was going into the studio because it was going to be a longer interview, and what it was about was me representing the Victorian branch of the CAA, and then the president of the Victorian AMA. And so we're going to have a discussion together, and it was the main point to talk about was the use of the title doctor. You don't go into a green room at South Bank at ABC. It's kind of like a more of an open foyer area, and you get there early enough because, you know, last thing you want to do is be rushing into an interview. Yeah. So I was 20-25 minutes early, and so I was just sitting around, and there was this older gentleman who was walking around, and there was no one but the two of us here. And I was thinking to myself, surely that's got to be the AMA president there. And so he walked around and he was paying no attention to me whatsoever, almost avoiding me. And I kind of went just out of my way where he kind of had to make eye contact. And I just said, oh, hi, you know, I'm Anthony, you're not. And to be honest, I can't actually even remember his name now. And the AMA president, and he said, yes, yes. And he ended up being the most lovely guy. Like he's actually, he was in practice in Gippsland area. And, you know, I, for a short time in my life, I, you know, lived in Gippsland as a small boy. And of course, when you have these kind of potentially confrontational interviews coming up, you're trying to build as many bridges as you possibly can, build rapport, look for commonality.
Yes.
So by the time we had a really good chat, and by the time we got in there, our relationship between the two of us was already quite positive. And I think from a, I guess, radio point of view, it might've been boring radio because you basically had two people who, you know, more or less agree with each other.
Yeah.
You know, yes, of course, we don't want to pretend that we're medical doctors. Absolutely not. You know, the title doctor is this, that, and the other. And we talked about PhD, and we talked about, you know, it's a learner, and we talked about the importance of, you know, signifying whether you're a dentist, a vet, a chiropractor, or whatever. And and so that was great. So that was a really good turnaround on, and maybe it depended a little bit on him being in the end quite an affable guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was definitely a memorable moment.
That's a very positive, memorable moment, I'd say. Great job there. Fantastic. Not too many of those come off like that, so that's fantastic.
Yeah, they're not all good stories, Kim. There's, ask me anything to do with COVID or anything to do with, you know, pediatric videos of chiropractors adjusting babies. That's they're the ones that are less positive, that's for sure.
Yes, I can imagine so. But either way, I've got to say you've done a fantastic job either way, whether it be the difficult ones or the happy ones. In terms of, obviously, you've served as a leader for Victoria and now on the national board. What are some of the lessons that you've learned over the time about service and leadership?
Well, I guess, you know, not everyone's going to be president of an organization. You know, that's happened to be a role that opened up for me. I didn't pursue it, I don't think, but I kind of fell into it and someone said, why don't you? And I did a little bit and I just kept on going forward sort of thing. So, so everyone, I think, and especially chiropractors, you know, we're, you know, generally well-educated people. We have a real natural empathy, I think, for people.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of opportunity for people to make, you know, contributions to community and serve humanity in a positive way. You know, not only, of course, every time we go in and adjust a patient, but in many other levels. So, you know, you're agreeing to, you know, pick up the mantle and run the podcast, which hopefully will be listened to by hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of people over many, many years. And that's a great service. So I think it's always important to look for what you can give back. Not necessarily just to chiropractic, but just in some ways, because it really, I think, is naturally a fulfilling thing to do. And especially when you get to a more mature stage in your life, there's almost a natural yearning that if you're not looking at doing that sort of stuff and how you can create that kind of service attitude, that you might be missing out on some really, you know, the really lovely juice of life. So it hasn't, you know, it's hard. It's sometimes it's not always glamorous or anything like that. Sometimes it's just about, you know, nose to the grindstone and keep on working. Yeah. But you know, overwhelmingly it's a positive experience. And, you know, this is obviously an opportunity for me to be a bit nostalgic and reflect back. I can say that, you know, I've been delighted with all the good and all the bad, and I wouldn't change a thing.
One bit about it. Yeah. I mean, they're all experiences, aren't they? Whether it's good or bad. And did you find that the leadership aspect spilled over into your own practice, or did you feel like the practice leadership aspect with your patients sort of spilled over into some of the leadership roles that you handed, with the board?
I think certainly putting myself out into media and having that kind of training and experience helped me articulate things with patients. But you certainly don't have to have, you know, some people are naturally far more introverted. They prefer to be talking one-on-one. They, you know, so you don't have to be good at media to be good at communicating to patients. I think it did help me, and having those kind of leadership skills did help me for sure. Mm-hmm. But I don't think necessarily you have to have one to be good at the other. Mm-hmm. But I'm, you know, very grateful to have had that opportunity. And I think I'm a better person, a more rounded person in both roles because I've got both roles.
Well, you have the great respect of a lot of our membership. And I know that I've spoken to many others in our membership, and they certainly hold you in high regard. So I appreciate the fact that, you've done such a great job in the leadership aspect of things for our profession.
Thank you. And again, that's really lovely.
Can't thank you enough for all those things you've done. I'm going to, we're kind of nearing the end of our podcasting chat here, but I know that the ACA is very committed to serving and supporting our members and students in particular. I do a lot of work with the students here in Sydney. I'm going to start a little new tradition with the podcast. Okay. I'm going to ask all the guests who visit us and speak to us. There's you being the first, you can have a go at this. We want to actually get three tips from all our guests. I'd love you to share with the students, because I do a lot of work with students, and I think they're the backbone of our profession in years to come. Students and new grads, tell me three things that you think will either support them or inspire them on their chiropractic journey.
Okay. Thank you for giving me a heads up on this, by the way, because I have given it a tiny bit of thought. I'm going to say a part of a sentence and I want you to finish it for me.
Oh, here we go.
If something is worth doing, it's worth doing
well.
That's right. Because that's what that natural thing that everyone says. But Tony Robbins had a different take on this. And not, I wouldn't say that I'm 100% an advocate for Tony Robbins per se, but I've done some of his work before and read his books, and a lot of it has been really helpful. What he said was, if something is worth doing, it's worth doing badly the first time. See, a lot of the times what we do is we put things off because we think, don't know if I'm quite ready for that. You know, that may be a bit beyond me. You know, I could have easily made that decision way back in the early 90s when Bob Scott said, go away and just run with that backpack thing.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to be prepared. Of course, that doesn't mean that you don't work hard to do something well. You absolutely do, but you don't let the fact that you might not be so great at it to start with stop you from having that first experience. So that would be my number one thing. It's worth doing it badly the first time. Not every time, just the first time. Number two would be, don't underestimate how life-changing small ventures outside your comfort zone can be. And I guess it ties in a little bit from that first one. You don't have to have a successful life or to achieve great success really just takes doing something uncomfortable just a little bit, but doing that often enough that it grows and grows and grows. So, you know, you don't have to conquer Everest, you know, the first time you go hiking, but just do that little bit more, because we learn so much through experience. And there's only so many books you can read and podcasts you can listen to. You have to go out there and do something that's just a little bit uncomfortable.
Correct.
But it doesn't have to be extreme. And I guess the last thing is that, and again, looking back on my career, it's very easy for me to say this, but, you know, do what you love, you know, find joy in your experiences. And sometimes, you know, work is work. You know, it's not always, wow, this is amazing. I'm so wonderful. I'm a chiropractor. Of course, we all say that, you know, but day to day, it's not always like that. Work is work, but you have to find the joy in all your work, even in the more mundane moments. So look for, you know, look for something to really enjoy about your experience right through that experience, even if it is just, you know, you're doing the basic stuff. So I guess they're my three tips for
three wonderful points there. I don't even think that it would. I mean, I certainly got something out of that. I don't even. I'm like 27 years into practice, so I appreciate that. I'll take that away with me. Certainly, this podcast will be my testing ground. This sort of, I'll just give it a go, see how I go.
This is you stepping out of your comfort zone for sure.
Absolutely.
And that zone will just get bigger and bigger, and you'll have to start jumping further and further to really make it.
Correct. I'll remember this conversation well, Anthony. I appreciate that. Now, what does this future look like for the ACA? Because I really want to, from there, step into a quick discussion about the upcoming conference in Cairns.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's exciting. But obviously, the biggest thing I think on our plate at the moment is Victorian education in Australia with RMIT teaching out over the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that we're at the delicate stages at the moment. We're having lots of conversations with lots of people and things are moving and shifting, but that's where there's a real vacuum in Australia with education for chiropractors, because what we know is that students in Victoria who might have wanted to do chiropractic don't travel to South Australia, to Perth, to Sydney, or to Brisbane to study mm-hmm. chiropractic. There'll mm-hmm. be the odd one or two that certainly do, mm-hmm. but overwhelmingly they don't. And we've seen that with student intake this year. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a challenge for the ACA and the chiropractic profession, certainly to ensure that we get quality education back in Victoria. I think it's going to happen for sure. I don't know exactly when, watch this space. That's where we're working hard on that for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. And yes, I couldn't agree more. There needs to be more education, particularly in Victoria, for there isn't one happening at the moment. In light of the upcoming ACA conference, we will be there. Is there anything that you want to share with the listeners about the nature of the upcoming conference?
Well, I don't know what the weather's like in Sydney, but it's just started to get a bit colder in Melbourne. And I can tell you 27, 28 July, being in Cairns instead of Melbourne, that sounds good to me. and I love the AFL and I love the footy, but I love warming up my bones too. So if you can get up to Cairns and experience some great speakers, have a great weekend or have a great week or a couple of weeks. We've got Heidi Harvick, who you need to definitely get on the podcast at some stage.
Definitely.
Mark Charette, I still use some techniques that I learned from Mark Charette 20 years ago. And
likewise.
So for grads and students, you definitely want to hone up your extremity adjusting. He's fantastic for that, and many, many others. So it's a really great place for people to get together to, celebrate chiropractic, to learn a lot of new stuff and have a great
Absolutely.
Time.
It's such a wonderful time for our profession to come together now that we're very much post-COVID, the nature of that collegiate feel within our profession. I think that's so important. So I would highly recommend all our listeners, if you haven't booked your flight and your registration for the conference, do so ASAP before the early bird cuts off. It's happening in July. So I appreciate your time, Anthony. It's been such a wonderful time to have a chat to you and get to know you a little bit more outside of the interviews that you normally do. I hope that I can continue the wonderful work you've done on the podcast and then basically continue the wonderful work that, bringing on guests to enlighten our listeners with.
Oh, look, thank you so much, Kim. Look, I want to just wish you all the best. I'm so excited. When I thought of someone to take over the podcast, I thought of you first. I was so happy that you agreed to do so. You've already got a better Rode microphone than I have, I can see. So you're committed to the task, and I'm sure you do a great job. And listeners will enjoy the podcast for many years to come. And I know I'll still be listening in and sending you your critiques each time.
Thank you, Anthony. I do appreciate it. And thank you for all the wonderful work you've done for our profession and establishing the podcast. So thank you so much. And I look forward to catching up with you in real time, maybe at the next conference that we have in July.
Sounds great, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Wonderful. I hope that the listeners got a lot out of that today. And if this helps you to understand more about our wonderful profession and the people within it, thank you. And if you like it, share it. Thanks, guys. And until we meet again, we'll chat again in our next podcast. Thanks very much, guys. See you later.